Hello, this is the podcast for our class on November 29, and it was class number 26, and we started intentional torts. The biggest distinction that you have to keep in mind, as we talked about in class, is managing to make the distinction between intent, which focuses on certainty or substantial certainty, and negligence, which focuses on risk, so that we're not looking at, in neither of them are we looking at motive. You know, motive is a criminal law concept. We're looking at, in intent, we're looking at the behavior. And we're also looking at the behavior in negligence. But negligence relies on risky behavior. And in intentional torts, it's behavior with an eye towards the consequences. So, you know, remember, intentional torts, it's very much the court wants to eliminate, provide a civil remedy for antisocial behavior. And that's behavior that people know will bring about undesirable consequences. They know, or it's, you know, almost certain to bring about undesirable consequences. And this is intentional torts, a very old tort. And it was really back in an era of more the Wild West self-help. And the idea is to curb all of this bad behavior. And next class we'll talk about what the actual bad behavior types of behavior are, these causes of action. To curb all of this bad behavior and sort of lawless behavior by giving a civil remedy. Instead of people going after self-help. And we talked about this a little bit in trespass and nuisance. Again, those are property-based torts. Here we have torts that are more based on personal dignity, personal safety, as opposed to sanctity of your property. Here it's sanctity of your person, either and the personal freedoms you have, freedom from being injured, or freedom from having your personal space violated, freedom from having your mental space upset in some sense. So the intentional torts, much older, a lot of these cases that we're reading are much older cases, and the design is to get away from sort of the Wild West and antisocial behavior. The big thing we focused on is what is the meaning of intent. And as we saw, it doesn't have to be bad intent to injure, no. Intent to harm, no, not at all. Just intent focuses on the consequences. Do you intend these consequences? The act that will bring about the consequences. So what you really want to know is, did somebody know what these consequences would be, purpose to affect the consequences, or substantially certain that the consequences would come about? Purpose to bring about the consequences, or substantially certain. What are the consequences? The consequences are the causes of action, either the battery, the assault, whatever the cause of action is, that's what we're talking about in terms of our intent. So the case with the child, why are they suing in battery, which is an intentional tort, because the courts have always felt that young children are able to understand consequences of their actions. If you pull a chair from somebody, even a five-year-old knows that people are going to fall down. Whereas, except for this freaky four-year-old negligent, four-year-old being sued in negligence, which, you know, who knows how far that's going to go. But except for that freaky recent case, courts have very much determined that child tortfeasors in negligence don't have the requisite emotional and experience to understand the notion of risk. You know, we talk about a reasonable 10-year-old, question whether that can be, again, unless they're engaged, a child is engaged in an adult activity, are they able to form, to comprehend risk? Courts have generally thought that below a certain age, no. But that for intentional torts, that age goes far lower. Because you know the consequences of your actions. And that's what we're talking about now, are consequences. So, again, in our case with our little Brian, we don't know how that's going to turn out, but the court declined to follow the court on appeal declined to follow the lower courts, saying that, you know, he didn't have the purpose, intent, or design to harm her. That's not what our rule is. It's purpose or substantial certainty that the consequences would occur. That is, she would fall if a chair is moved. And that's what they sent the court back. They sent the case back in order to determine, did he have this kind of knowledge? Was he capable, able to know what would happen if a chair got moved to someone who was sitting down? Again, the intent is to distinguish intent from very, very bad, risky, faulty behavior, which is just negligence, maybe extreme negligence, but still negligence nonetheless. What's the difference between an intentional tort and a negligent tort? Well, negligence has all kinds of other barriers to recovery, most specifically proximate cause. Although, and in intentional torts, although you still have to show cause, courts are kind of likely to look the other way when we talk about proximate cause and foreseeability. Why? Because we don't want an intentional tortfeasor, an antisocial behavior, someone who's behaving antisocially, to get off the hook by saying, oh, lack of foreseeability. So different defenses for negligence, assumption of risk, contributory negligence, that will be compared. None of those apply for intentional torts. There are privileges in intentional torts, and we'll talk about those. But they're limited and different. Intent can be transferred between individuals. Mazar intends to hit me. He had a purpose, not a substantial certainty, but certainly a purpose. He intends to hit me, but instead hits Constant. His intent is transferred over to me. He intends to assault or scare Constant, but instead he hits me. His intent to assault Constant is transferred to battering me. So intent can be transferred between individuals, can be transferred between causes of action. But the intent has to be purpose or substantial certainty. purpose or substantial certainty. Keep in mind the hypothetical that we talked about, shooting a gun up in the air. It's not substantially certain. It's bad behavior and real risky, but not substantially certain that it's going to hit somebody. Probably substantially uncertain. Shoot a gun in a crowd, that's something different. So again, the substantial certainty is going to certainly, we always look to the facts, but it is, substantial certainty is near certainty, not just really risky. So next class, we're going to start talking about the various causes of action, and we'll talk about battery, assault, and false imprisonment, and I doubt whether we'll get to intentional infliction of emotional distress. We might start talking about it, but I think we will just go through battery, assault, false imprisonment, and save all of that other stuff for the last class.